from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, we are here in Philadelphia at the World Meeting of Families. Jeanette DeMello and writers from the Register's team of reporters in Philadelphia talk about some of the highlights here at the World Meeting of Families and also the excitement here in Philly as U.S. and international pilgrims await the arrival of Pope Francis. Wow. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. How are you there, Jeanette? Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. It's great to be here. It's been a nice long week, but a good one.
It really, really has been wonderful. And our first guest today, Marge Fennellan, is a Catholic author, blogger, speaker, and award-winning journalist. Marge is a longtime correspondent for the Register, and she's been a very important part of the Register's coverage all week long. Hey, Marge, welcomed again to Register Radio.
Well, it's great to be here, Tom. Thank you.
You know, Marge, it's been such an exciting week. We've each gotten to see different things, but one of the things that is so important to me at events like this is getting to actually meet our writers like you. We haven't met. We've talked many, many times, but it's so great to actually meet you in person, and I've had the same experience with other writers.
I agree, and it's great to meet you too, Jeanette, and it's great to have a feel for the people I've been working with
right.
for so many years.
Right.
You know, I was just talking to Rachel, and you're talking about, you know, we work together, and I think we work together very well, but it's mostly by email, and,
right.
and some of the folks I've not even met face-to-face. So this is a great opportunity to meet face-to-face. So then when I get home and I finish, you know, continuing my work, I've got a face now with the email.
Who you're firing that email off? You know, one of the things Archbishop Chaput said about this World Meeting of Family before the event actually took place was one of the things he hoped people would get, the families who attended this would get out of it, was the encouragement of seeing other families. And I think for those of us in the Catholic media, we also get that encouragement. You know, we get the encouragement of seeing so many people who are alive in their faith, and also, you know, seeing so many other writers who are working on this. So let's talk about some of what you have seen this week, some of this lively faith. What stands out in your mind this week?
What stands out for me is joy.
Mm.
It's incredible. You know, We like to think of ourselves as joyful Catholics,
right.
but here, truly, people just explode with joy, figuratively speaking, of course. But the little inconveniences, the parents with the little bitty children, and they're trying to get through the hallway with a stroller, and
I got one.
and you know, and you, normally there would, you know, there'd be a little huffing and puffing and all, you know, groan. But no, you just don't see that here.
Yeah.
Everybody's working together, making way for each other, and being ever so joyful because we're together as a worldwide Catholic family. And families together with families is just, the energy is beyond belief.
Yes, it's very alive. Now, what are some of the talks you've been able to attend?
I have really not been able to attend many talks at all. My pleasure and privilege this week is to talk to the people.
Yes.
To talk directly to the people. And so I have not been in the talks in person, but I have been spending a good deal of time in the media center. And so I've had the ability to listen in to
right.
the talks, because we have that great gift of, you've got the big screen up in the media center. So I can still follow along with what's being said. And the messages are just so beautiful and so pertinent to where we are right now, and that is that we need to help families understand how to be families. And I know it sounds kind of strange, you'd think it would just come naturally,
of course.
But there's a fine tuning there that even older parents like me can all use some more practical and spiritual helps to make ourselves become better parents. And the kids I was outside the youth program last evening, just as it was letting out, and the volunteers, you know, the doors are closed until it gets toward the end. The volunteers open the door, and it was like this burst of music. There was a musician, and I apologize that I don't know who it was up on the stage playing. And I looked, and the kids are jumping around, and the parents are bobbing their heads, and it was just joy. It was so much fun to watch them all come out, and the kids are just talking away, and they're so excited about everything that's been going on. And that's a beautiful thing, because we're touching these young hearts, and we're getting them excited about their Catholic faith.
So absolutely.
I wasn't in that presentation, but I sure saw the product of it.
Absolutely. This is Jeanette DeMello, and I'm on Register Radio. I'm here with Marge Fenlon, who's been writing about World Meeting of Family, and we're here at World Meeting of Family. It's the final day of this wonderful week of presentations. There was a youth track for kids 6 and up, I think 6 to 18, and then many keynote and breakout sessions for speakers throughout the week, and gosh, there was I think 20,000 people who attended this event, more than was expected.
Wow.
And it's just been marvelous to see how, again, fully alive family life really is. You know, you spoke about not being able to go to talks, and I've had that same experience. And this morning I was talking to my husband. I was saying, gosh, I just feel like I should be doing more. I was having a Martha moment. and my husband reminded me of how God teaches us to just be in the moment. And this has been just a very precious moment of visiting with people, of talking with people, getting to hear their stories, how they got here. Marge, some of the people you've been talking to are the international participants. What have you heard from them?
What I've heard is great sacrifice to get here, but sacrifice not in that doldrum kind of, just offer it up and, things are so bad. But sacrifice as in, this is very important, and we need to make the sacrifices, we need to find ways to make sure we get there. So I was just talking to some folks from Argentina, and they didn't know our Holy Father when he was there as a cardinal, but they know who he is. All right, I mean, let's put it that way. But that's not an easy trip for them.
No,
at all. It's a 10 and a half hour flight. The two couples that I talked to, the both of them, it was not economically, it wasn't just something they, it wasn't money they just had lying around.
It's hard
they
for families to come. It's hard for families to come from these far ends of the earth.
Yes, it is. And yet, they were so excited and so happy to be here and so happy, so delighted to have made those sacrifices and given up this or that so that they could save the money and get here. And I was really, I felt really bad because I only had about a 2-hour flight.
Right. Me too. I had a 3.5-hour flight with a 20-month-old, which it makes it feel a lot longer. But still, that is nothing. That is no sacrifice.
Yeah,
I heard you talk to someone from Vietnam.
I did. And the beautiful, beautiful story. I can't wait to write about it. It was a family a Vietnamese family living here in the U.S., but they wanted to bring other families, other people from Vietnam, so that they could be here for this event. And so on their own, this family raised money.
Wow.
to what it was is that they asked the people who lived in Vietnam if they could come up with the airfare. Mm-hmm. And then this family is paying for whatever other costs will be incurred to these people are here. So they brought 8 people over from Vietnam. And I have to correct myself. I believe it was 13 that they brought over.
Great.
And are, their lodging and their food and so on. So
yeah, that's really great. You know, one of the, I guess to get over all of these hurdles for getting here, and all of us have them. I mean, even though those who are coming in the U.S., I mean, there are many families who are traveling across country by car with, a carload of kids. And that's those are challenges. And I think of the fact that the Holy Spirit wanted us here. I'm sure the Blessed Mother has been a part of all of those journeys in getting here. And one of the devotions of our Holy Father is the undoer of knots. And there are many knots sometimes, just even at events like this, just struggles in trying to do what we do. And the Blessed Mother undoes these knots. You covered an event related to the undoer of knots, I believe. You wrote a blog about it, at least. Tell us what you found about this wonderful devotion.
Well, the devotion has inspired an artist. Her name is Meg Seligman. She formed a knot that is a grotto. It's one of those things. You got to
like
see
a maze?
It to believe it. But it's this beautiful wooden structure. She's formed these wooden slats, but they're beautiful. They're polished and they're curved, and they're woven together to create this. It kind of looks from far away like a ball of yarn.
Okay.
But it's large enough for people to walk into. So it's 20 feet high. It's 13 feet in diameter. And it really is a beautiful thing to look at, even though it sounds, you know, funny. But look at the blog. I've got pictures. And then she's invited people worldwide to submit their knots. So it's a grotto to Our Lady. They call it the Our Lady Undoer of Knots Grotto. They've been working on this for, I think, about a year. They first had the idea. And she even has online, if you would search Our Lady Undoer of Knots Grotto, you will find that. But in any case, she said she was coming up on 100,000 petitions or ribbons. They're writing the petitions on ribbons that are being tied to this grotto.
Wow.
So it's representative of all of these knots that people have, and it's amazing to look at.
That's really beautiful. You know, our listeners must go to ncregister.com and to Marge Fenland's name on the blogs there to see those pictures and to read about this devotion, because, I mean, really, we all have these knots. I mean, all of these knots in our own family, these knots in our own hearts that need to be unwound. And there's no better way to do that than to pray to Our Lady, the Undoer of Knots. And Marge, you know, I think that's just a beautiful thing to leave us with in this segment, is that idea of just taking to prayer the knots in our own lives and just trusting with all of our hearts that Our Lady will take that to Jesus and undo that knot. So, you know, Marge, I know you won't be here for the papal visit. I wish you were, because I know that's something in your heart. But we will bring all of your prayers with us when we are at those masses with the Holy Father.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Jeanette.
Marge, thank you so very much. When we return, we'll have more recap for you from the World Meeting of Families here in Philadelphia. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
In today's world, we have all kinds of misinformation and even disinformation about Christianity, Catholicism, and religion in general. And we need a source that is going to give us direct quotations and authentic news about what is going on in the church, so we know what the Pope really said and not what the media said he said. We need to know what the Synod is doing, what the encyclicals mean, in order to be able to give the facts of our faith. For that reason, we need the National Catholic Register, which will give us the good news along with the hard news of our world today. And in that way, we can have what we need to go out to our world and give them the good news of Jesus Christ.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Susan Clement, is a freelance writer living in St. Paul, Minnesota. She writes regularly for the National Catholic Register. She, too, has been in Philadelphia this week covering the World Meeting of Families. Susan, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you.
Susan, it's so great to actually meet you in person. You write all the time for Culture of Life section, work all the time with Amy Smith, and it's such a joy to read what you write for the Register, and now I have the chance to actually be with you this week. You've been here since Tuesday, and that was before I got here, actually, and you were able to attend the very first keynote of this week, and that was Bishop Barron, and Bishop Robert Barron, a newly ordained bishop. How exciting. He has such a great following. I know that room was packed. What did you hear?
I heard so much excitement to see him and to see him as a bishop now. And he gave a very inspiring message. I spoke with someone from Africa. I spoke with people from various parts of the country, and just great interest and excitement.
And you wrote a blog on that first address. It was called, if I remember correctly, Bishop, Prophet, and King. And those were some of the words of Bishop Barron's talk. And what was he driving home in his talk?
Well, I believe that the terms priest, prophet, and king refer to Christ. and he was talking about how we were to also take on those roles in how we look at the world, how we bring Christ to the world.
In our evangelical mission, right?
That
we are sent forth from that place, drawing our strength from Christ, as who is the priest, prophet, and king, and bringing that forward to the world. And that's exactly what we're called here. That's why we come to these events, right? To actually get the energy to go out and to evangelize. You've spoken to a lot of people this week. I know a lot of the writing that you will do will follow the event. You know, you're gathering a lot of material. What are you planning to write about this week's meetings and gatherings and people?
Well, yesterday I attended a talk by Dr. Janet Smith on loving the elderly. It was just an overflow crowd to hear her speak and share all her wisdom of having cared for her aging mother who dementia. And I, you know, in talking to people, there are a lot of people who are in the same boat or who are approaching that with their parents.
Absolutely.
And she just had a lot of humor and wisdom and very well received.
And, of course, a lived experience. As you said, she is taking care of her mother. She actually left her work at the seminary there in Detroit in order to take care of her mother. And what a beautiful witness. You know, one of the things I think about is that at the address to Congress, Pope Francis actually, I mean, he had so many paragraphs, you know, that he could say to our congressmen. And one of those paragraphs was about the elderly. Mm-hmm. He spoke specifically about them because, of course, they're an important part of our lives. You know, we forget.
Yes.
We forget about that sometimes. They're not up front and central, but I think that's going to be a really important story that you're writing.
I've heard Dr. Smith talk about this in the past, and she brings in the theology of the body into this discussion, and the fact that the Holy Father, in the close of that work, did indicate that it was for more than just referring to marriage and sexuality, which is commonly spoken of, but also to refer to people in all phases of life, including the elderly.
Absolutely. And of course, that, you know, it's John Paul II who wrote the theology of the body, and he brings in that unity of life that is involved in family life, you know, from sexuality to the care of children to the mm-hmm. care of the elderly. And of course, Pope Francis has sought to do the same thing in a different way. Of course, he has a different style. But even in Laudato Si, his encyclical that is known to be on the environment, it talks about this same kind of thing, the care from the child in the womb, the care of the environment, all the way to the care of the elderly. And Pope Francis has spoken very often about the elderly. In fact, last year around this time, he had a special day in Rome that was just recognizing the elderly who are so beloved in mm-hmm. our own hearts. Now, there are other things you're writing this week, or at least collecting for this week. What else have you been following?
I've been doing some research on marriage preparation programs.
Wow.
And just walking around and talking to people who are involved in this ministry, some very interesting ideas. It's more than just a 6-week course before a couple is married. Just preparing for marriage can start even from childhood, teaching
That's
children
right.
with an example of marriage and teaching them how to have right relationships before they even get married.
Absolutely. You know, the Register's been talking a lot about this. We haven't done a story on that part of it yet, but marriage prep is already, it's in a way almost too late. I mean, you're getting ready mm-hmm. to get married. You've already chosen the person you're going to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to happen when kids are younger. It needs to happen really when kids are reaching puberty, when they're reaching this attraction to people of the opposite sex and just learning to be in those kind of relationships. That's when marriage prep needs to start. The Register's really been wanting to cover this, and I'm really glad you're collecting all this material to do a story on marriage prep. This is Register Radio, and we are here in the exhibit hall of World Meeting of Family. And I'm talking to Susan Clement. We're talking about her work as she's covered this World Meeting of Family this week. She's been talking about collecting information about marriage prep. And in this exhibit hall, there are so many exhibitors who are giving out information that is so valuable to family life, things that help with catechesis, that help with marriage prep, that help when you are having difficulties within the marriage. Those vendors are all here in this hall, and they're just sharing their material. I don't even know how many, but there are I would say, a couple thousand vendors here. Now, Susan, one of the things that's so exciting about your coverage is what's going to happen next. We are getting ready for the Pope to arrive. He arrives Saturday morning. We are hoping that we can all get to these events, because we expect at least a million people, maybe a couple million people, to descend upon Philadelphia. But we have certain things we're looking out for. What are you going to be attending? What papal events will you attend?
Well, my papal event coverage is going to be a little different probably than some of the other reporters. I'm going to be joining up with a pilgrimage group from Minnesota, where I live, and riding back with them and getting their reaction on the weekend's events, and also to find out, how what they're learning and discovering can be applied at their parish. Mm-hmm. They have some significant issues at their parish that they're dealing with, and so because of that and joining up with this group, I will not have as much time to spend at, for example, the Festival of Families on Saturday night, and some of the day's events on Saturday.
So. But you are covering the Festival of Families in some way. You've been following what's going to happen at that event. Is that mm-hmm. correct? What are we expecting? So many people have talked about Mark Wahlberg being there. They're so excited about some of the celebrities. And what kind of entertainment is expected at the Festival of Families Saturday night?
I think that that Matt Maher, the musician, is expected, and Marie Miller. Those are a couple of the stars that I know about, mm-hmm. Catholic entertainers that they will know about. And I'm not.
Of course, some of the big ones like Andrea Bocelli and Juanes, who is a Latin American singer. I think it's going to be really exciting. I've got a 20-month-old, and I'm really hoping to be able to attend this event with him and my husband. It might be a little difficult to actually get in there, but we're really hoping. I think this is one event that is going to be something that can still capture my little son's attention, and we'll see what happens. There are going to be many other people trying to squeeze their way in.
Absolutely.
Yes, and so this group that you're traveling back with, how many people will be? Is it a bus? Are you traveling by bus?
By bus, yes. And I think they have about 80 people.
Okay.
From about 9 different parishes.
Okay.
In the Twin Cities Archdiocese.
Have you met up with them during this week at all?
I haven't yet. They arrived today.
Oh, so they're here just for the papal event.
Yes.
Okay, very nice. And when do you leave to head back home?
We'll be leaving right after the papal mass on Sunday.
Wow, you are going to have a whirlwind day. And you're attending the mass altogether, correct?
I hope so.
It's all a big unknown,
Yes, it is.
I was walking home from the convention, back to the hotel, from the convention center the other day, and all these flashing lights were coming. It was late at night. All these flashing lights are coming down the road, and my husband goes, "Oh, it must be some big dignitary or something like that." And we looked a little closer, and they were yellow lights. They were actually tow trucks. So a bunch of tow trucks are coming down the road. I'm like, how welcoming is that, They're coming down the road because they were clearing out the city. And this was Thursday night. Wednesday night. They're clearing out the city so that they could prepare for Pope Francis. He will be taking a parade on Saturday and on Sunday throughout the city, greeting pilgrims along the way. I expect that to be 10 people thick at least in most spots. But hopefully we'll get to glimpse the Pope and give him a wave. Now, Susan, we're just closing up here, and I know it's been a really long week. Pilgrimages are really hard, but in just a 30-second little soundbite, what are you taking home personally from this event?
I am taking home just an excitement about the Catholic faith. That I mean, just the conversations I'm overhearing, the people from all the countries that I've seen and talked to people, it's just exciting to be Catholic.
It is an exciting moment to be Catholic. You're absolutely right.
And I'm trusting that people will take away, a greater interest and desire and to live their Catholic faith.
Well, you know, I think that's what Pope Francis is here for. I think that's what he wants us to experience, and I really do hope that many, many people take away that interest, that desire, and ultimately a love for the faith. So thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan. If you'd like to listen to our program again, just go to ncregister.com. Look for that microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, and all of us on our team, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.